Lord, please let these words and thoughts be yours and not just mine. Amen. Good morning. Let's plunge straight in and talk about what's going on in that gospel passage we just heard. Obviously, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Nothing special about that. He talked to them a lot. But this time he's talking to them at a turning point in the gospel story. It's the point where Jesus sends the disciples out to preach God's kingdom all by themselves. The trainer wheels are coming off. They're now going to put their training into practice. Now let's recap just for a moment. After his own time of preparation, Jesus recruits the 12 disciples and starts to train them. They are, in effect, his apprentices. They listen to him. They watch what he does. They try to model themselves on him. And they see how Jesus gains people's attention and people's trust by healing the sick. And we're not told how long this stage lasts, because the gospel writers are not concerned with dates. My guess is that it could have been, say, about a year. Anyway, the time comes when they're ready to go out and take Jesus' message to the people of Israel themselves. They're going to leave behind the comfortable feeling of having Jesus with them. For some of them, it will mean saying goodbye to their families as well. For a time at least, they're going to be on their own. I'm sure we can think of a similar situation in our own lives. If you're a teacher, there must have been a moment when you faced a classroom by yourself for the first time. All those young faces sitting there, probably thinking up tricks to play on you. Ring a bell for anybody? Or perhaps a new mother arriving home with her first newborn. The nice people at the hospital have showed you how to keep the baby clean and fed and so on. And when you get it home, it's all up to you, isn't it? I was only the father in this situation, but I still found it a pretty scary moment. Well, thank heaven we're usually young and resilient when these things happen. Jesus goes to a lot of trouble to prepare the disciples for what lies ahead. The first theme of the passage is to warn them of the nasties they might encounter. And here the context comes in. Let's have a look at that. Jesus knows that he's already unpopular with the religious authorities of his day. He's already under attack. Listen to some of his words. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. All men will hate you because of me. And Jesus goes on from there to point out that the disciples, they won't have an easier time of it just because they're the students and not the teacher. He tells them, you should expect the same treatment as me. If the authorities are going to attack me by calling me the prince of demons, they're going to treat you much the same. They will see you as members of my household and attack you too. And we might wonder why Jesus paints this rather horrific picture of what lies ahead for the disciples. And I suppose it's because it's easier to cope with things that you are expecting, even if they are bad things, than if they are unexpected. So that's the first theme, the warning. The second theme is the boosting of the disciples' morale for dealing with the situations they will meet. Jesus moves straight on to reassure them, and his reassurance is strong and firm. So do not be afraid of your persecutors. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground against your Father's will, and even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Now, I think it's very important that we remind ourselves that this theme of do not be afraid is very common in the Bible. One occasion that comes to my mind, well, you remember the storm on the Sea of Galilee described in Mark chapter 4? The disciples thought they were about to drown, and Jesus says to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And at the Last Supper, he says to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." And that's just in the New Testament. In the Old Testament too, there were many examples of this. God had to encourage his prophets and overcome their doubts many, many times. It wasn't just Jonah who tried to wriggle out of doing what God wanted. Moses and the others did too. Now, I suggest to you that themes that get repeated again and again are very important ones. So this do not be afraid theme is very important in the gospel story. And interestingly, we find it echoed, if you like, in secular wisdom too. It was Winston Churchill who said, "Courage is the most important virtue, because without it, none of the other virtues is of any use." I think Jesus knew human nature very well, and he would have recognized that we do have this tendency to shrink away from danger. But as we know, the training he gave the disciples and the message of reassurance that went with it were brilliantly effective. Many of the disciples went on to show great courage. They did not lose their saltiness, to pick up the theme of Joe's sermon a couple of weeks ago. The church survived persecution and went from strength to strength. Okay, so let's put ourselves in this picture. Imagine that a new stage in our lives is about to begin, or a new challenge might be facing us. And Jesus is speaking to us. Of course, we don't have the persecution from the authorities worries that the disciples did, but we still have our challenges and our problems. Maybe we are up against some moral test or other. We're not sure we are going to show ourselves to be good enough Christians. So we're going to need two things, are we not? Training and confidence. Training. God does train us for what he wants us to do. I look back over the last 20 years, and I can see now how God was training me for what he wanted me to do. And he used Ann Aspden. Do many of you remember Ann Aspden? Yep. And he used her to show me how to take the weekly communion service at Huntley Rest Home. I began by going there with her and watching what she did. When she left the parish, I took on the responsibility for that service. It happened when God had trained me for it through Anne. God also provides us with confidence. He reminds us that we are not as alone as we might think we are sometimes. His love for us is always present. And we need to let God play his part in this too. Just a few verses in the same chapter before the bit that we heard read, Jesus is telling the disciples that if they get arrested, they don't have to worry about what to say in front of the tribunal or the court. The right words would be given to them at the time. "It will not be you speaking," says Jesus, "but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." So the message is clear. Let God take control. Keep your eyes fixed on higher authority. I've always been fascinated by aviation. If you've watched even half as many cockpit videos as I have, you'll know that the pilots have a pre-flight checklist to work through before they take off. Flying is a serious business, so they have to be well trained. Pilots have to be trained in the first place. And in the second place, they have to follow the pre-flight instructions before they're ready to go. So maybe we can think of this gospel passage as a sort of a pre-flight checklist, if you like. It reminds us to make sure we've got things straight, in the right perspective, that we are prepared, not only before a big challenge perhaps, but regularly, starting with Sunday church. So the message is quite straightforward. Whatever it is we face, whatever we worry about, God will make sure we have the training we need and will be there for us. Our role is to have courage, to use some gospel passage like this as a sort of checklist, and of course, to always keep our eyes fixed on God. Amen.